Okay, we're going to start here on the bottom of Chaf Ted Amud Bet, 8 lines from the bottom. Itmar, Rosh Chodesh Tevet, Shechaliot Bechol. What happens when Rosh Chodesh Tevet is always in the middle of Chanukah, falls out during a weekday? So here we have a machloket. Amrav Yitzchak Nafka, Karutlata b'Rosh Chodesh v'chai b'Chanukah. We read the first 3 aliyot out of the Kriya that's normally read for Rosh Chodesh. Remember that normally on Rosh Chodesh you're going to read 4 aliyot from Rosh Chodesh, and that's already a difficulty, which we discussed earlier in the Masechta about the fact that it's not easy to split it up into 4 aliyot. To break it into 3 aliyot is much easier, the guards of Rosh Chodesh. V'chad b'chanukah. And then the 4th aliyah you read out of Chanukah. V'rav Dimi midimin chayfa amar karut lata b'chanukah. They read 3 aliyot from Chanukah. V'chad b'Rosh Chodesh. And they read the final aliyah from Rosh Chodesh. So Amar Rav Mani, kavate d'Rav Yitzchak Nafka mistavra. Like Rav Yitzchak Nafka makes a lot of sense. The tadir, v'shenu tadir, tadir kodem. A simple principle of preference. We give preference to the one that is more frequent, the one that is more regular. Over here, you're talking about Rosh Chodesh versus Chanukah. Rosh Chodesh is something that takes place more times during the year than Chanukah does. So therefore, I've had choice to break it up. I'm going to give preferential treatment or give the majority to Rosh Chodesh, and then I'll give the residual to Chanukah. So that's Rav Yitzchak Nafka's position, which is you read the first 3 from Rosh Chodesh, and the last one from Chanukah. Amar Rav Avin, kavate d'Rav Dimi mistavro. Rav Dimi's position makes more sense. Mi garam l'rivi'i shiavo. Why do you have a 4th aliyah, Rosh Chodesh? Remember that on any other day of Chanukah, there are only 3 aliyot. It's only because it's Rosh Chodesh now that we have an extra aliyah. So who caused the 4th aliyah to come? Rosh Chodesh. Hilchach rivi'i b'Rosh Chodesh by mikre. Therefore, the 4th aliyah should be Rosh Chodesh. So Gemara says, my ha'avela, 2 positions. Then you have 2 amoraim, each one giving support to one of the 2 positions. What's the halacha? Rav Yosef Amar, ein mashkichim b'Rosh Chodesh. We don't worry about Rosh Chodesh. That's Rav Yosef's position. V'Rabba Amar, ein mashkichim b'Chanukah. We don't worry about Chanukah. Now, normally when you have a machloket Rav Yosef and Rabba Rav Yosef, halacha ke Rabba. Yeah, despite that fact, the Gemara now goes on and says, V'hilchata. The halacha is, ein mashkichim b'Chanukah. Now, the way that the Bach has the girsa here is, ein mashkichim b'Chanukah kol ikar. We don't worry about Chanukah at all. Alright, but the same thing is meant by that, v'Rosh Chodesh ikar, which means that we follow the position that you read the 3 aliyot from Rosh Chodesh, and the 4th aliyah is going to come from Chanukah. Tosafot over here says, why did the Gemara have to go out of its way to say v'Hilchata? Because it's not just the Machloket Rabbi and Rav Yosef. He says there are other Amoraim that support the position of Rav Yosef. And that's why the Gemara gave a conclusive statement in the end that the halacha is Kerabba. Even though that's a normal halachic principle, over here it had to reinforce it because there was a possibility that we would paskin like Rav Yosef from the fact that there are other Amoraim that support that position of Rav Yosef. Right now, the Gemara is going to shift gears to the Arba Parshiot. With regards to the Arba Parshiot, from the previous Gemara, the previous Daf's Gemara, it's actually pretty clear that in the eyes of Chazal, that Maftir was actually Oleh the Minyan Shiva, was one of the 7 Aliyot, and it counted towards one of the 7 Aliyot. Tosafot points that out earlier, a couple of Daf ago, points out the fact that the Gemara, even though it questioned it before, it seems from the flow of the Gemara later on, that the Gemara believed that Maftir was Oleh, the Minyan Shiva, did count towards the 7. And he wanted to explain our practice where we don't have that. We don't have the Maftir count towards Shiva. So there he explains, that's why we say Kaddish. We say the Chatzi Kaddish in there to basically deal with that issue and to be Monof Shach, make it work according to all the positions. Because even according to the position says it's Oleh, the Minyan Shiva, if you put a Chatzi Kaddish in there, you're clearly breaking it and separating it away. So that's our practice, where we have this Chatzi Kaddish, which breaks it away, and then it's not Oleh the Minyan Shiva. But what we've seen until now is that it is Oleh the Minyan Shiva from the previous Gemara. The other thing is the Mishnah that we saw on the beginning, and the lower half of Chaf Ted Amud Aleph. There, the Mishnah laid out for us what we call the Arba Parshiot, the 4 Parshiot. Later in today's Daf, we will discuss what exactly is meant by the Arba Parshiot. But there, the Gemara lists out that there are 4 Parshiot. There's Pashat Shkalim, there's Pashat Zachor, there's Parshat Parah and Parshat Achodesh. And there, the Mishnah lays out for you a sequencing of how they work. And that is that Parshat Shkalim, if it Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbat, then you read it that day. If it's earlier in the week, then you read Parshat Shkalim in the week preceding Rosh Chodesh Adar. Now, Parshat Zachor is read in the week preceding Purim. Parshat HaChodesh is read in the week that is preceding Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or if it falls out on Rosh Chodesh Nisan itself, it's read on that day. And then Parshat Parah, which the Mishnah tells us is the third week. The Mishnah lays out that it's Shniyah, Shlishit, and Revi'it. Now, Parshat Parah is not connected directly to any event, and therefore the Gemara today will discuss exactly where it falls out. So now the Gemara is going to discuss the different permutations of when they can fall out during the week. Just as a little background, remember that for us, at least, Pesach cannot fall out. Lo Badu Pesach. Pesach cannot fall out on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. That means that Rosh Chodesh Nisan can also not fall out on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, because if the first of the month, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is on one of those days, then 14 days later, meaning that the first, the next will be the 8th, and then the 15th, well, that will be the first day of Pesach. So just like the first day of Pesach can't fall out on Badu on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, so too Rosh Chodesh Nisan cannot fall out on Badu on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That means that Rosh Chodesh Adar, the Adar HaSamuch LeNisan, we did this in Rosh Hashanah, the Adar that's adjacent to Nisan is always Chaser, is always 29 days. That means that Rosh Chodesh Adar cannot fall out on the day before Badu, which means that it can't fall out on a Sunday, can't fall out on a Tuesday, and it cannot fall out on a Thursday. That as far as Rosh Chodesh Adar is concerned, and obviously that have an impact on Purim, what days Purim can fall out. Just for example, since Rosh Chodesh Adar cannot fall out on a Sunday, that means Purim for us will never fall out on Shabbat. Because if Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, then it would fall out on Shabbat. But since Rosh Chodesh Adar can never fall out on Shabbat on Sunday, then Purim will never fall out on Shabbat. That's as far as our calendar is concerned. We'll see in the Gemara that because they do it al piriya, it's not as fixed. And they do have these opportunities or these times when it does fall out that way. So now that's just as way of background for the next section here, which is Itmar. Chaliot be'atat titzaveh. What happens if Parshat Shkalim falls out on the week that we're reading Titzaveh? Now, Parshat Titzaveh is the Parsha before Ki Tisa. So, I'm Rav Yitzchak Nafka. Rav Yitzchak Nafka suggests over here, Karu Shita Mi'atat Titzaveh. You read the first six Aliyot from Atat Titzaveh Ad Ki Tisa, until you reach the Parsha of Ki Tisa. V'chad Mi'Ki Tisa. And then you read the final Aliyah from Ki Tisa Ad Vasita. Vasita Kior Nechoshet. See, the Kiyor Chotet is the piece after the Chumat of the Shkalim, the first section of Ki Tisa. So what he suggests here is the first six aliyahs are from the Parshat HaShavua, which is Titzaveh. The seventh aliyah is going to be from Parshat Shkalim, which is just a continuation going into Ki Tisa. It's the subsequent Parsha. And as I said before, here it's the Gemara is clearly viewing that the Maftir is Olo Dominion Shiva. This is the Maftir. This is the seventh aliyah as well. And that's what you read. Amar Abayi. It's important here, remember this position of Abaye, because Abaye is going to show up later in the Gemara, and it will have impact Alocha. But here, Abaye says over here, Amrei ukume hu dekamukume hotam. What are people who are going to be in shul? They didn't have the modern-day chumashim that we have, where it divides up the parshiot, and they knew where they were going to stop, and all the information that they needed. They just had a chumash, or they had something that went straight through. So all they're going to just say is he read through Atat Titzaveh, and then they're going to read straight into Ki Tisa, and they're just going to think it's a continuation. It's the Parshat HaShavua. They're not going to realize that it's something special in Ki Tisa, because they're just going to think it's a sequential reading, and the sequential reading continued into Ki Tisa, because that's where the end of the Parsha is. So, how do we make it clear that Ki Tisa is the last Aliyah? So, Karashita Mi'atat Titzaveh, Rav Yitzchak Nafka, he says the first six aliyot come until Atat Titzaveh, Ad Vasita. The sixth aliyah continues into Parshat Ki Tisa until Vasita Kiyor Nechoshet. You read, the sixth aliyah goes all the way from the end of Titzaveh all the way into Ki Tisa. Then, V'chad Tani V'kari Mi'Ki Tisa Ad Vasita. Then the last aliyah will come back and reread the beginning of Parshat Ki Tisa. Now, obviously, when you repeat it, it's clear that you're doing something special. It's not just part of the Parshat HaShavua. So Abaye solves the problem by saying, you're right. He has the same structure, in a sense, as Rav Yitzchak Nafka, which is the first six aliyot are mi Parshat HaShavua. But in order to avoid the problem of people thinking that Ki Tisa is just a part of the Parshat HaShavua, he has them read the first six all the way through the beginning of Ki Tisa, including the first aliyah in Ki Tisa. Then they go back and read over the Parshat Shkalim from Parshat Ki Tisa in order to be Parshat Shkalim. So that's the way that Abaye suggests that they read it. Meitevei chaliot b'parshas muchala ben milefanecha ben mileachareha. So this is our case. If it turns out to be the Parsha near Ki Tisa, ben milefanecha, meaning whether it's Parshat Titzaveh, ben milefanecha, whether it's Parshat Vayakhel, korinota v'koflinota, we read it, and we read it again. Now, bishlam ala Abaye necha. That works like Abaye. That sounds like Abaye, which is you read it, and you read it again. That's how Abaye described what you do in this situation. Elo revitzchak nafko kashol. Revitzchak nafko, what repetition do you have here? Samalacha revitzchak nafko ala Abaye minecha. Wait, does that breita really make sense according to Abaye? Tinach lifaneha leachareha hecha mishkachala. It works out, the way that Abaye described it works out when you're talking about Parsha Tetzaveh. When it's the Parsha before Ki Tisa, then you read all the way into Ki Tisa, and you repeat that last Aliyah. But, l'achareha hecha mishkachala, what does Parsha Vayakel have to do with this at all? Elamayit chala meimar. So then what do you have to say that it means here? It means kofla b'shabbatot. Kofla b'shabbatot means that two Shabbatot in a row, you're going to read the same thing, which is Parshat Ki Tisa you're going to read. And the subsequent Shabbat, which is Parshat Vayakhel, you're also going to have to repeat a portion of Ki Tisa. So that's what it means, Kofla b'Shabbatot. So too, Hachanami, Lifaneha, you have to say the same thing. Hachanami Kofla b'Shabbatot, which is the week before, is Parshat Tetzaveh, and you're going to read Ki Tisa that week. And then the subsequent week, you're going to read Ki Tisa again. So that's what it means, Kofla. It doesn't mean literally to repeat the same reading on that Shabbat itself, like Abaye suggests. But rather, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka says the doubling here is just you're going to read the Parsha twice. You're going to read the Parsha in Parshat HaShavua of Ki Tisa, and you also read it either in the week before or the week afterwards if those turn out to be Parshat Shkalim. All right, so now, what about the last possibility here? And that's an interesting possibility, which I don't think happens for us at all, which is Chaliot B'Ki Tisa Tzma. What happens if Parshat Shkalim is actually in Parshat Ki Tisa? The Parsha of the Shavua is Ki Tisa, and it also happens to be Parshat Shkalim. So I don't think happens again in our calendar that doesn't happen. Am Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, karushita min vasita vad v'yakhel. So Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka says you don't start from the beginning of the Parsha. You start into the Parsha from vasita kior nechoshet. You start from Parshat kior, and then you finished until the next Parsha, which is v'yakhel. You read the six aliyot, the first six aliyot from the latter half of the Parsha. V'chad kari mikitisa ad vasita. Then you go back to the beginning of the Parsha, and for the seventh Aliyah, you read the first part of Ki Tisa. That's how he handles it. That's Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka's suggestion, similar to what he said before, that six Aliyot come from the Parshat HaShavua. The seventh Aliyah is for Shkalim. So in the case where it was Titzaveh, he had the seventh Aliyah be into Ki Tisa. Over here, where it's Ki Tisa itself, he has the sixth Aliyah be from after the Parshat Shkalim until the end of the Parsha. And then you come back and you read the beginning of the Parsha for Parshat Shkalim. Matrifla Abaye. Abaye says, what? Hashta amrei l'mafreya hu dekori. How can you do that? He's going to end up reading backwards, meaning that he's going out of order in the Parsha. So how could you do that? People are just going to say, oh, he forgot something. He left it out. They're going backwards. It doesn't make sense. Alarma Abaye. Abaye does his suggestion, similar to what he said before. Karushita ad vayakel. You read six aliyot from Parshat Ki Tisa itself all the way to Vayakhel. V'chad toni v'kari mi'ki tisa ad v'asita. And then you go back again and read the beginning of the Parsha again. Because just like he did with Tetzaveh, you read all the way through to the Kior. And then you go back and the seventh one repeats Ki Tisa. So he does the same thing here. You read from the beginning of Ki Tisa to the end. And then the seventh aliyah is going to go back and repeat the first aliyah. It's not really the first aliyah, but the beginning of Parshat Ki Tisa until the Kior. Mar says, Tanya Kavote de Abaye. We have a braita that supports Abaye's position. Chaliot b'ki tisa atzma, korinota v'koflinota. You read it, and we double it up. So that's Abaye's suggestion. And again, this is all talking about in a case where you're not taking out a separate Sefer Torah to read Parshat Shkalim, but you're reading from the same Torah, as well as the fact that the Gemara is pretty clear here that they think that Shvi'i, the seventh aliyah, is Ole, the minyan Shiva. The seventh Aliyah is both the Maftir and Oleh the Minyan Shiva. And so for that reason, they have Parshat Shkalim coming out, and Abaye's suggestion is just to repeat it, so it doesn't look like you're just going back because you forgot something. It doesn't look like you're just extending the Parsha. It looks like you're reading something special for that week. Chaliot betoch haShabbat, maktimin leShabbat Shavra. If, for instance, Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out during the week, we read it on the Shabbat beforehand. Now, the reason for that is something that we saw in yesterday's daf from the Mishnah in Shkalim, which is as far as collecting the Shkalim, b'chamishasar bo, and the 15th Adar, shulchanot yoshvim b'midina. The money changers go out and the collectors for the Shkalim of the Chatzi Shekel for the Mikdash go out and they set up in all around the country. Then on the 25th, they move up to Yerushalayim. So the fact that they go out on the 15th, how much advance notice did we want to give people? We want to give them a minimum of 15 days advance notice. So now if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbat, we're going to reach Shkalim on that day. And then the Shulchanot will be there until the 15th of the month, till the Sunday of the 15th. So they will be there. I mean, it's really Shabbat, but they'll leave on the Sunday. So they'll have full 15 days of notice in order to read it. Now, if the Rosh Chodesh falls out during the weekday, one of the weekdays, then if you were to read Parshat Shkalim after Rosh Chodesh, you would have less than 15 days notice. Because whatever the amount of time it is from Rosh Chodesh to Shabbat, then you only then read Parshat Shkalim. And then you would only, they'd set up on the 15th in the month, you wouldn't have enough time to give them the full 2 weeks or 15 days of notice. So therefore we bump it back to the previous Shabbat. So now they'll have more than 15 days, but at least you'll get the minimum in. So that's what the Mishnah describes. But what happens in a case where Rosh Chodesh falls out on Erev Shabbat, falls out on Friday? When it falls out on Friday, then what do you do with regards to Parshat Shkalim? And that's what the Gemara is discussing here. Itmar. Rosh Chodesh Adar Shchaliot be'erev Shabbat. Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on a Friday. Rav Amar Makdimim. Rav says we follow the same principle that we did with any other weekday, which is you read it the week before. Shmuel Amar Me'achrin. Shmuel says no, we just wait a day and read it on the Shabbat afterwards. The second of Adar, we're going to read it there. Rav Amar Makdin. I mean, why do I move it up? For the same reason that we move it up on any other day of the week, which is Dim Kain Batzri Lehu Yomei Shulchanot. Because if you don't do that, you're not going to give them the full 15 days of notice to give the Shkalim to the Shulchanot that are going to set up on the 15th of Adar. Shmuel Amar Me'achrin. Shmuel says you delay it. Because Amar Lecha, Sof. Chamisha Asar B'Male Shabta Miklo. Because if you think about it, if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on a Friday, that means that the 15th of the month is also a Friday. He says nobody is going to start, open up their businesses on Friday to start something. Nobody starts something on Erev Shabbat. Therefore, Shulchanot lo nafki ad chad b'shabo. They're not going to go out there to start collecting the chatzi shekel until Sunday. So, ilkach me'achrin. So that's why we delay it. So Shmuel just makes a point here, which is, from a practical standpoint, when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Friday, the 15th falls out on Friday, the Shulchanot won't open in the Medina until Sunday. So if you postpone it a day, you're not going to lose out on the 15 days, because from a practical standpoint, they're only going to start on Sunday, and you'll be totally fine. So that's the machloket here we have between Rav and Shmuel. Tznan, our Mishnah. Chaliot betoch haShabbat falls out during the week. Makdimim l'shavar. You move it up to the previous Shabbat. Umafsikin l'shabbat acheret. And then you skip the subsequent Shabbat. You read Shkalim, you skip a week, and then you read Parshat Zachor. My love, afilu be'erev Shabbat. Our Mishnah does not qualify that statement. It says, betoch haShabbat, any day during the week. So any day during the week would include Friday. The Gemara says, lo, betocha Shabbat dafka. No, I mean, tocha Shabbat means literally in the middle of Shabbat. Friday is not called the middle of Shabbat. But rather, it's just the middle. The middle meaning any day besides Friday. Tashma. Ezehi Shabbat Rishona. Which is the first week of this Seder? Ko Shechal Rosh Chodesh Adar Liot betocha. In the week in which Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out, that's the first week. Va'afilu be'erev Shabbat. Even on Erev Shabbat. Well, if you read it that way, my love, afilu be'erev Shabbat dumia detocha. If you read the bright, that seems pretty straightforward, that when Rosh Chodesh falls out during the week, even Erev Shabbat has the same din as the middle of the week. So matocha makdimim, just like if it falls out in the middle of the week, you move it back to the previous Shabbat. Af Erev Shabbat makdimim. So too, if it falls out on a Friday, you move it up. So that's a really strong question against Shmuel, this bright. So Amar Shmuel, ba. Shmuel says that the Breita is wrong, and he has an emendation for the Breita. Instead of reading the Breita as Ko Shechal Rosh Chodesh Adar Liot Bitocha, he says Ko Shechal Rosh Chodesh Adar Liot Ba. Now what is Ba? Ba means Shabbat. The way he reads the Breita is Ko Shechal Rosh Chodesh Adar Liot Ba. Anytime Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbat, that's the first week. Vafilu be'erev Shabbat. And Erev Shabbat's the similar to that. Erev Shabbat has the same din as if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbat, which means you read it on that Shabbat. V'chein Tana de Beis Shmuel. So, Tana de Beis Shmuel, which is interesting in itself, because the Braitot are works of Eretz Yisrael. And to have a Tana de Beis Shmuel, which is something from Bavel, is strange. But Shmuel definitely has this emendation. So this seems to be, must be a much later Braita or Tosefta. And then it's V'chein Tana de Beis Shmuel. Ba! Their way that they read the Braita is that way. The Gemara says, Ki Tanaye, happens to be a Machloket Tanaim about this. Misargim L'Shabbatot Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, you skip Shabbases. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amir, Ein Misargin. We don't skip Shabbos, any of the Shabbatot. Amar Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Ematai Omer Ein Misargin. When do I say we don't skip a Shabbat? Bizman Shchaliot Be'er Shabbat. That's when it falls out on Erev Shabbat. Aval Bizman Shchaliot B'Tocha Shabbat. When it falls out in the middle of the week, Makdim. Then you move it to the week before. V'korei Mishabbat Shavra Afu Pihu Shuhu Shvat. You read it in the week before, even though it's Shvat. I mean, it's before Adar. So basically, you have here a Machloket Tanaim that is similar to the Machloket between Rav and Shmuel. Rav is similar to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who says that we skip a Shabbat, because when a Shchodesh Adar falls out in the middle of the week, or falls out on Friday, we move the Pashat Shkalim to the Shabbat before, which is in Shvat, we skip a week, and then we only read Zachor in the subsequent week. So that's Rav, and that's similar to what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Rav say. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that's only true when you don't have it fall out on Erev Shabbat. But when it falls out on Erev Shabbat, then you read Parshat Shkalim on the second of Adar. That means that the subsequent week is going to be the ninth of Adar, and Purim will be in the subsequent, that week after the ninth of Adar will be Purim, and therefore you'll read Parshat Zachor on the ninth. So since you're going to read it 2 weeks in a row, there's no skipping. There's no gap in the days. So here you have Rabbi Shimon Elazar, similar to the position of Shmuel, which says when it falls out on Erev Shabbat, you postpone it. You push it to the subsequent Shabbat. Right? So that's one machloket about the parashot. Now, next one is B'Shniyah Zachor. The second week, we read Parshat Zachor. So here you have a similar machloket, which is Itmar Purim Shekaliot Be'erev Shabbat. What happens if Purim falls out on a Friday? So Rav Amar Magdimim, Parshat Zachor. Rav, similar to his position with regards to Shkalim, says you bump it up to the week before. So you read it on the week before, and then Purim will fall out on Friday. Then Shmuel says, no, similar to his position before, he says, Machrin, we bump it back, we move it back to the Shabbat. Rav Amar Makdimim, Rav says you move it up to the week before, Kehechid lo tikto masiyah lezchira, so that you shouldn't do the carrying out of Mechiyat Amalek before you mention the Mechiyat Amalek. What's the reason that we read Parshat Zachor in the week prior to Purim? Because Haman is Ha'agagi. And we saw this early in the Masechta. The Gemara sees this as part of those battles between Bnei Israel and Amalek, that Purim is one of those battles. So the instruction in the Torah, in Parshat Ki Tetzeh, to remember what Amalek did and to wage a war against Amalek, they see the manifestation of that in the story of Purim. So the way Rav says it is, you want to have the Zechira, you want to mention that requirement on the Shabbat before, and then the Asiyah, which is Purim, will be celebrated on the day of Purim. So you want the Schirah to go before the Asiyah. Shmuel Amar Machrin. Rav has a pretty good taina, so what is Shmuel going to do with this? He bumps it back to the 15th. Samalacha. Kamen Dika Mukafim de Avdei B'Chamesh Sar. Since it's still Purim on the 15th. May not be Purim for everybody, but it's Purim for those in the walled cities on the 15th. Asiyah v'schirah b'hadei hadadi ka'atyin. Then the Asiyah, the carrying out, the manifestation of Mechiyat Amalek takes place on the same day that you're reading about it. So since that's close enough, and therefore he's okay with postponing it because there's still a day of Purim on the 15th. So now it's not our Mishnah. Bishniyah Zachor. The second week we read Zachor. Where it says, V'haki Mikla Reish Yarcho B'Shab Shabbat. If Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbat, Mikla Purim Be'erev Shabbat. Then Purim will be on a Friday. Right? If Rosh Chodesh Adar is on Shabbat, that means that the 15th is also Shabbat. The 14th, which is Purim, will be Erev Shabbat. Viktani in our Mishnah says, B'Shniyah Zachor, in the second week you read Zachor. That's supportive of Rav's position. Which means the first week, when Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbat, we read Shkalim. The subsequent week, which will be the 8th of Adar, you'll read Parshat Zachor, Shnia, and then Purim will fall out on Friday. According to Shmuel, you actually skip a week. You'll read on Rosh Chodesh Adar, you'll read Parshat Shkalim. The 8th, you'll read nothing. The 14th will be Purim, and on the 15th, you're going to read Zachor. So that's not Shnia. So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa comes up with a way to say that. My Shnia, what does the second week mean? Shnia lahafsaka. The second one after the break. So, depends what your reference point is. For Rav, the reference point is Parshat Shkalim. So Shnia means the second week, the week after Parshat Shkalim. On the other hand, Shmuel says, no, Shnia doesn't mean reference to Parshat Shkalim. Shnia means the one after the break. So the Shnia, the second week after you've taken a break. Tashma, Ezu Shabbat Shnia. What is considered to be the second Shabbat? Kol Shechal Purim Liot Bitocha Vafilu Be'erev Shabbat. Similar brighter that we saw before with the Shkalim. What is considered to be the second Shabbat when you read Parshat Zachor? Any week in which Purim falls out during the middle of the week. Even if it falls out on a Friday, then the Shabbat before is the Shabbat that you read Parshat Zachor. Again, my lav, Erev Shabbat Dumiya D'Tocha. Friday is no different than any other weekday. Matocha Makdimim, just like any other weekday, you move it up to the Shabbat before. Af Erev Shabbat Makdimim, so to an Erev Shabbat, you move it up to the week before. Again, a bright and very supportive of Rav. So I'm a Shmuel, ba. Shmuel does the same thing he did before, is as an emendation of the Braita, and he says, you read it wrong. Doesn't mean, tocha doesn't mean in the middle of the week, it's rather ba, on the day itself, fell out on Shabbat itself. Chein tana de Shmuel. And then again, tana de Shmuel, ba. You have this ba, which is, it's similar, chaliot be Shabbat atzma. That's what it means. It comes out on Shabbat itself, ba. And Erev Shabbat is dumya to chaliot be Shabbat atzma. That's how Shmuel explains the bright again, in order that it's not to be a problem from him. Chaliot be Shabbat atzma, what happens if Purim falls out on Shabbat? Again, for us, that's not possible. But in their day where it was possible that the 14th would fall out on Shabbat, what's the din? Samravuna, the divrei akol ein makdimim. Even Rav will agree here that you read Parshat Zachor on the day of Purim. Why? Because you're not being makdim, the asiyah l'zechira. You're not moving up the actual Mechiyat Amalek to the zechira. You're happening simultaneously. You're happening on the same day. So he says, even Rav will concede there that you read it on the day of Purim, and you don't move it up to the week before. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman disagrees and says, Adayin hi machloket. It's still a machloket, and Rav says you move it up to the week before. It's marnami, amar chiyah b'avar, amar bi avo, amar rav, Purim shkaliyot b'shabbat, maktimim v'kore shabbat shavra zachor. So here now you have a memra in the name of Rav that supports this idea that Rav would say, even when Purim falls out on Shabbat, you move Zachor to the previous week. It's not good enough to have the Zechirat Amalek on the same day you have Asiyat Amalek. You need to have Zechirah prior to Asiyah. The only way to facilitate that is to read Parshat Zachor in the week beforehand. Right, Bishlishit Parah Duma. The third week we read Parah Duma. Now, I told you before, it's not clear. Parshat Parah is not anchored against anything. So as opposed to Shkalim, which is anchored to Rosh Chodesh Adar, Zachor, which is anchored to Purim, and Parshat HaChodesh, which is anchored to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Parah is not anchored to anything. Why do we read Parshat Parah now? So Rashi says, the reason that we read Parshat Parah is because, Lismoch Azarat Tmeim LePesach, in order to remind people to become Tahor for the Regel, to become Tahor for Pesach. Not only is it a Regel, but it's also a requirement to bring the Korban HaPesach. We want you to be Tahor. So we want everybody to get Tahor because Korban HaPesach is involved with Chiyuv Karet, and we want people to bring the Korban HaPesach. So we read Parshat Parah to help them out with getting ready and preparing themselves to be Tahor for the Regel. So now the Gemara wants to understand, what is the third week? When does Parshat Parah come out? What is it anchored to? So here the Gemara explains, Tana Rabbanan, Ezi Shabbat Shlishit, Kol Shesmucha LePurim. It's the week adjacent to Purim. Whichever week Purim falls out in, the subsequent Shabbat is the Parshat Parah. Itmar, Rav Chama bar Rabbi Chanina Amar, Shemat HaSmucha LeRosh Chodesh. Nisan, it's the Shabbat that is adjacent to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So here you have a machloket as to what anchors Parshat Parah. Is Parshat Parah anchored by Purim? Or is Parshat Parah anchored by Rosh Chodesh Nisan? And the Gemara says, Velo Plige. They're not arguing. Hadikla Rosh Chodesh Nisan b'Shabbat. Hadikla b'Emsa Shabbat. Depends on when Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out. If Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out on Shabbat, so if Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on Shabbat, that means that Parah is on the week before, which is the 23rd of Adar. The 16th of Adar will be the Shabbat before that when you read nothing. And the week before that will be the 9th, which will be Parshat Zachor. So in the case where Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out on Shabbat, Parshat Parah is anchored by Rosh Chodesh Nisan or Parshat HaChodesh. On the other hand, if it falls out during the week, then it's guided by Purim and not by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So for instance, let's take an example where it falls out on the 27th of the month. 27th of Adar, you read Parshat HaChodesh. On the 27th of Adar, you read Parshat HaChodesh. That means the week before is the 20th of Adar, which is Parshat Parah. The week before is the 13th, which is Parshat Zachor. Purim falls out on the 14th, which is Sunday. And we read Parah on the week after Purim. It happens to also be the week before Parshat HaChodesh, but it's also the week after Purim. So all the cases where Rosh Chodesh Nisan does not fall out on Shabbat, you always end up reading Parshat Parah after Purim, and the week after Purim. Now, that's cute, but it doesn't exactly work. Because there is a case where it doesn't work, and that's when Parshat HaChodesh falls out on the 29th. What happens if Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on the Sunday, and the last day of Adar was the 29th, was on Shabbat, and you read Parshat HaChodesh on that 29th? That means the week before, which is the 22nd, you would read Parshat Parah. The week before would be the 15th, and you would read nothing. And the week before would be the 8th, and you would read Parshat Zachor. So in that case, Parah turns out to be adjacent to Parshat HaChodesh and not after Purim. Because Purim was on Friday. Purim was on the 14th on a Friday. So Rashi explains over here, to solve that problem, he says, no, because the 15th also counts as Purim. So since the 15th was Shabbat, so therefore the subsequent week on the 22nd, when you read Parshat Parah, is also the week after Purim. So that's how Rashi solves the problem in that instance where it falls out on the 29th of the month is Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on a Sunday. In that instance, you would still call it that Parshat Parah is read after Purim because the 15th is also a day of Purim. Right, so that's the layout for Parshat Parah. The truth is, the easier way to remember it is it's always the week before Parshat HaChodesh. It just turns out to be that in the majority of instances, when Parshat HaChodesh and then you have Parshat Parah beforehand, it turns out that that's also the week after Purim. It's also in the week after Purim, with the exception of when Parshat HaChodesh falls out on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And then it won't be that way. Then you'll have a gap week in between, and it'll be separated by a week from Purim. All right, now we move on to the fourth Parsha. Berivit, Achodesh Zedachem. In the fourth Parsha of the Parshiot is Achodesh Zedachem. Tan Rabbanan. Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechaliot B'Shabbat. If your Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbat itself, then Korim Kitisa. You read Parsha Kitisa because that is Parshat Shkalim. Umaftirin Beho Yada. And Haftorah comes from Yehoyada, which is the story of the maintenance of the Mikdash. The Mikdash has fallen into disrepair. And because it's fallen into disrepair, they want to raise money now to fix up and do the Bedek HaBayit for the Mikdash. And so it's in this Ben Sheva Shanim Yoash B'Malko. In the seventh year of Yoash, he comes and he says, what's going on? Why the Beit HaMikdash has fallen into disrepair? And what's happened to all the money that they've been given? So it turns out that all the money was going to the Kohanim. The Kohanim were taking the money for themselves, not using it to rebuild the Bayit. So they set up a methodology by which the Kohanim can't get to the money anymore. They make a big box with a hole in it, a stucco box that was locked. And therefore, when the people came up to give money, they would put it in there. Then when they put it in there, they would have special accountants come in, check out the money, and then ensure that it went to Bedek HaBayit. But there's the Shkalim, the idea of a shekel that was put into a box for the Bedek HaBayit to fix up and to take care of everything that was there. So that is the Haftorah that we read from Sefer Melachim. So that's Parshat Shkalim, as well as the Haftorah associated with Parshat Shkalim. Vezuhi Shabbat Rishona. What is the first week? Ko Shechal Rosh Chodesh Adar Liot B'Tocha B'Afilu Be'erev Shabbat. This is the Braita that we quoted before. We quoted it in sections before. Now the Gemara is quoting the Braita in its totality. So what is considered the first week? The week in which Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out. So then you read it beforehand, even if it's on Erev Shabbat, even if it's a Friday, you read it on the Shabbat before. Bishnia, the second week is Parshat Zachor. So we read from Parshat Ki Teitzefer Zachor, Maftirin, the Haftorah comes from Pekadati, which is the story in Shmuel of the battle of Amalek between Shaul and Agag, Melech Amalek, and the instructions of Shmuel to go wipe them out, and the failure of Shaul to completely carry out the instructions of Shmuel. So that's the Haftorah that we read from Sefer Shmuel. Bezuhi Shabbat Shnia, What is considered to be the Shabbat on which you read Parshat Zachor? Kol Shechal Purim Liot B'Tocha, the week in which Purim falls out, Vafilu Be'er of Shabbat, even if it falls out on a Friday. Again, we quoted this part of the Braita before. This, the week in which Purim falls out, even if it's on Friday, that week, the Shabbat before, is Parshat Zachor. Bishlishit Parah Aduma, the third week we read from Parshat Parah Aduma, from Parshat Chukat, Umaftirim, and we left the Rav from Yechezkel, which is Vezarakte Alechem Mayim Torim. There we read from Yechezkel Perek Lamed Vav, which talks about the Tahara of Bnei Yisrael, both in a physical sense and in a figurative sense, and that is the Haftorah for Pashat Parah. Bezri Shabbat Shlishit, and what is considered to be Pashat Shlishit, Kol Shismucha LePurim Me'acharea. It's the week after Purim. So this is what we quoted before. It's the week after Purim, if with the exception of when Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out on Shabbat. Viravi'it, the fourth week is Achodesh HaZelachem. We read from Parshat Bo, Parshat Achodesh, Umaftirim, and read the Haftorah again from Sefer Yechezkel. We read about the Korban HaPesach that is described in Sefer Yechezkel. It's a procedure for the whole month of Nisan to retire themselves and then to bring the Korban HaPesach. And that's what we read. Komar Hashem Elokim B'Rishon Be'achad HaChodesh, in the first month, on the first of the month, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and over there, there's a whole process of Tahara, and then they bring the Korban HaPesach, and that is the Haftorah for Parshat HaChodesh. So again, this is a consolidation of the Braita that we were quoting in pieces before, and lays out for you what the readings are for each of these specific days. Now, the Ezuhi Shabbat Revit, when is it the fourth Shabbat, I mean the one that is, Rosh Shechal Rosh Chodesh Nisan Yod B'Tocha V'Filu Be'erv Shabbat, the week in which Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out, even if it's Erev Shabbat. Now, what's interesting here is the Gemara quoted a machlok between Rav and Shmuel with regards to Parshat Shkalim, as well as with regards to Purim. Whether when it falls out on a Friday, do you move it to the week before or you postpone it? Shmuel, in both of those cases, says you postpone it. Rashi over here says that Shmuel will agree that you do not postpone it. When it falls out on a Friday for Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then you will not postpone it and read it the day afterwards. You're going to read it the week before. And the reason is because in the previous two cases, the case of Parshat Shkalim and the Parshat Zachor, Shmuel had a reason to delay it without causing a problem. The case of Parshat Shkalim, he says if you delay it a day, it's not such a big deal because it's going to turn out they're going to get the 15 days anyway because the Shulchanot won't set up on the Friday. It'll end up setting up on the Sunday. The regards to Parshat Zachor, he was okay reading it on the 15th because 15th is still Purim. So therefore he felt all right postponing it. But over here, where the whole point is to get it in before Rosh Chodesh Nisan so people get ready, and you're going to read a Chodesh HaZelachem, you're going to read the Parsha that talks about Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it makes no sense to read it on the 2nd of Nisan. And there Shmuel doesn't have a reason to. So Rashi claims that Shmuel will agree with Rav in this case. He does not argue with Rav that when Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out on a Friday, again, in our calendar, this can't happen because of Lo Badu Pesach. But if Rosh Chodesh Nisan was to fall out on a Friday, even Shmuel would agree that you move it up to the week before. You move it up to the Shabbat before and you don't postpone it a day. Right now, there's a very large Rashi over here. This large Rashi basically gives you the explanation of how structurally the Arba Parshiot will fall out. And it gives you these acronyms that tell you the different possibilities about when, first of all, Rosh Chodesh Adar can fall out. And number two is, what happens when Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on that day? So if you look, the initials for the days on which Rosh Chodesh Adar can fall out is Zabdu. Zabdu means it can fall out on Shabbat, it can fall out on Monday, it can fall out on Wednesday, and it can fall out on Friday. Again, by the way, it's very simple because, again, we said Lo Badu Pesach, and that means that since Adar is 29 days, then Rosh Chodesh Adar can't fall out on the day before that. So what does that mean? That means that it can't be on a Sunday, can't be on a Tuesday, and it can't be on a Thursday. And that's basically what you just said here. Zabdu is any one of the other 4 days of the week besides those days that we just mentioned, Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And those are the possible days on which Rosh Chodesh Adar can take place. Then Rashi brings you a second device, which is Zatu, Bu, Dad, Ubiv. Those describe to you, number one, the first letter in that sequence is the day of the week on which Rosh Chodesh Adar takes place. The second unit is the Shabbat that is skipped in that sequence. It means the Shabbat that you don't read one of the Arba Parshiot. So here we'll just go through them quickly. The first one is Zatu. Zatu means that it fell out on Shabbat. Zion means Shabbat. So Rosh Chodesh Adar was on Shabbat. Tetvav is the 15th. That means on the 15th of the month, we will skip a Parsha. So let's just go through this. If Zion, meaning that if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on a Shabbat, that means we're going to read Parshat Shkalim on that Shabbat itself. The subsequent week, which is the 8th of Adar, we're going to read Parshat Zachor. Because when Rosh Chodesh Adar is on Shabbat, Purim falls out on Friday. So like Rav, we paskin like Rav in this case. And we're going to move it back to the week before. Again, we paskin like Rav in everything, except for the case where Purim falls out on Shabbat, where Rav says Maktimim, that we move it back. Even though for us, again, Purim never falls out on Shabbat, so it's not an issue. But technically there, we wouldn't paskin necessarily like Rav. So here, we're paskin like Rav. That means that on the first of Adar, you're going to read Parshat Shkalim, which is Shabbat. The subsequent with Shabbat, you're going to read Zachor. The third Shabbat is the 15th of the month. You're going to read nothing. That's what the Tetvav is. You read nothing on the Tetvav. The subsequent Shabbat is the 22nd. On the 22nd, you read Parshat Parah. And the subsequent Shabbat is 29th of Adar, which is the last day of Adar. You're going to read Parshat Achodesh. So that's one sequence. The next sequence is Betvav. Betvav means when Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on a Monday. If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on a Monday, then you're going to read Parshat Shkalim the week before, meaning in Shvat. You're going to read it. Then the subsequent Shabbat you're going to skip, which is Vav. Vav Adar, which is the following Shabbat, you're not going to read anything because it's too early to read for Parshat Zachor. So then you can only wait till the following Shabbat, which will be the 13th. So on the 13th, you're going to read Parshat Zachor because Purim is going to be on Sunday. Since Purim's on Sunday, you'll read Parshat Zachor on that week. Then on the subsequent week, which is the 20th, you're going to read Parshat Parah. And the week after that, which is the 27th of Adar, you're going to read Parshat Achodesh. So that's the second sequence. The third sequence is Dad. Dad is when Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on a Wednesday. When Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on a Wednesday, you reach Kalim the week before in Shvat. The next week, which is a Shabbat, you're going to skip, which is Dalet Adar. On the fourth Adar, you're going to read nothing because you already reached Kalim the week before and it's too early for Zachor. The 11th, you will read Parshat Zachor, because in the subsequent week will be Purim. On the 18th, you will read Parshat Parah. And then on the 25th, you're going to read Parshat HaChodesh. The last sequence is Ubiv. So that's the possibility when Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on a Friday. If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on a Friday, you're actually going to skip 2 weeks in the sequences of the Arba Parshiot. Because when it falls out on Friday, what's the rule? We paskin like Rav. If we paskin like Rav, it falls out on Friday, we move it to the week before in Shvat. That means the first is Friday, second of Adar will be the Shabbat after Rosh Chodesh. You won't read anything. Because again, it's after Shkalim already. You read Shkalim in Shvat the week before, and it's too early to be Zachor. The next week, which will be the 9th, you will read Parshat Zachor, because that's the week before Purim. Purim will be on Thursday. Then, on the 16th, which is the Shabbat after Purim, you will read nothing again. Because it's too early to read Parah, because guess what's going to happen? If Rosh Chodesh Adar is on a Friday, Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out on a Shabbat. And we said that's the one instance where you have a gap. The one instance where you have a gap is when Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out on a Shabbat, you read Rosh Chodesh, you read Parshat HaChodesh on that day, Parah the week before, but it's also a week after Purim. It skips a week after Purim, and that's the 16th. The 16th will have nothing on it. Then the 23rd will have Parshat Parah. And then the 30th, which is really Rosh Chodesh Nisan, will be Parshat HaChodesh. So that's the layout. That's this very large Rashi here explaining to you that sequencing of how the Arba Parshiot will fall out. All right, now we move on to the next piece of the Mishnah, which says, B'chamishit. In the 5th week, Chozrin the Kesidran, you go back to normal. So the Mishnah lays out 4 weeks where you have these special Parshiot. And then the 5th week, you go back to normal. So now, l'seder mai. What does it mean you go back to normal? What did you change that you're going back to normal? Rabbi Ami Amar, l'seder parshiotu chuzer. Rabbi Ami says you go back to reading the regular parsha of the week. What Rabbi Ami suggests is that during the weeks of the Arba Parshiot, that's what you read. You read this parsha instead of Parshat HaShavua. It knocks off Parshat HaShavua and you read the Arba Parshiot. Rabbi Yirmi Amar, the Seder Haftarot Hu Chozer. You go back to reading the regular Haftarah. What Rabbi Yirmiyah says, and which is our practice, is that maftir, what you change for the Arba Parshiyot is maftir in Haftorah. It doesn't affect the laning of Parshat HaShavua. You read Parshat HaShavua, plus you read the maftir from the Arba Parshiyot. Machloket, Rabbi Ami, and Rabbi Yirmiyah. Does Arba Parshiyot mean literally the Parshat HaShavua? That's Rabbi Ami's position. Or Arba Parshiyot is just an addendum at the end that, according to the Gemara, is the seventh Aliyah, which is all of the Minyan Shiva and is also Maftir. For us, it's a separate Aliyah of Maftir, which isn't only the Minyan Shiva, from which we read the Arba Parshiyot, and then you read a separate Haftorah, because the Haftorah has to match whatever you read for Maftir. So Rabbi, Kavate de Rabbi Ami Mistavro. Rabbi says that Rabbi Ami makes more sense. That's none. What's the end of the Mishnah? The end of the Mishnah said, the Chol Mafsikim. For everything you stop, the regular Parsha, the Rosh Chodashim, the Chanukah, the Purim, the Taniyot, the Mamadot, the Yom HaKippurim, all these items override. Gemara says, Bishlam al damandamar seder parshiot hu chozer. It makes sense according to one who says seder parshiot, which is Rabbi Ami, that you change the parsha. Hainu dika parsha b'chol. That makes sense then on a weekday. On a weekday, these items, for instance, taniyot and mamadot, can only fall out during a weekday. There's no taniyot on Shabbat, and there's no mamadot on Shabbat. So what are they overriding that you're talking about? They're certainly not overriding Haftorah. There is no Haftorah. So what is the only thing that there is on a weekday is the regular Parshat HaShavua. So if you explain the Mishnah as being overriding the Parshat HaShavua, then if you're going to be consistent, the Arba Parshiot also must be talking about overriding the normal Parsha of the week. Elamanda Amar Seder Haftorot, who Chozer, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, who says it's all about Haftorot, Haftorah B'chol Mi'iko. There are no Haftorot on Chol. So what is this latter half of the Mishnah speaking about? Vidach, how is Rabbi Yirmiyah going to explain this? He's going to say, Hadagita V'Hadagita. He says, there's two different issues. Arba Parshiot about the Haftorot. The end of the Mishnah is about the Parshat HaShavua, overriding the normal Kriya of that day. So the Gemara says, I don't understand the Mishnah. Right, you know what, before we do that, what's interesting here is, who's speaking now? Abaye says that Rabbi Ami makes more sense. Which means that, what does Abaye think? Abaye thinks that Rabbi Ami is right, and therefore, the Arba Parshiot override the Parsha of the week. That means that there is no Parshat HaShavua. So that's Abaye's position over here. I told you when we started the daf today, please remember what Abaye said. If you turn back to the beginning of the daf, the first thing, what did Abaye say on the last line of Tet Amud Bet, the first line of Lamed Amud Aleph? It says there that when Parshat Shkalim falls out on Atat Tetzaveh, what is Abaye's suggestion? Amar Abaye, when Parshat Shkalim falls out on Tetzaveh, what do? You read the first six aliyot from Parshat Tetzaveh into Kitisa, and the seventh aliyah for Kitisa. What did Abaye just say? Abaye says you're reading the regular Parsha of the Shavua. So how come over here Abaye says that you're reading the regular Parshat HaShavua? And now, in our Gemara over here, Abaye is supporting the position of Rabbi Ami, and saying that it overrides completely the Parshat HaShavua. Based on that, there are many that say, including the Gra, that Abaye changed his mind. That over here he said that it was Mistavra Kerebi Ami, but then he retracted that position and eventually held like Rabbi Yirmiyah. And since he held like Rabbi Yirmiyah, then when it came to when Parshat Shkalim falls out on Atat Tetzaveh, falls out on Tetzaveh, you read the whole Parsha Tetzaveh, and you have Shkalim as being the repetition of the seventh Aliyah. So that's, we see that Abaye changed his mind. Because Abaye changed his mind based on that, that means that in the end, Abaye supports Rabbi Yirmiyah and not Rabbi Ami. And so if that's the case, we paskin like Rabbi Yirmiyah, because that gives extra support to Rabbi Yirmiyah. And that's the way we paskin like Rabbi Yirmiyah, that the Arba Parshiot only change the Haftorot and the Maftir, they don't change the Parshat HaShavua as a whole. Right, next, Ubataniyot, Lama Li Hafsaka. Our Mishnah says that when Tanit falls out during a weekday, like a Monday or Thursday, it overrides the Parshat HaShavua. Why does it override the Parshat HaShavua? It says, Likre Mitzafra Binyona Diyoma. Why don't you just read in the morning for Parshat HaShavua? Ubimincha Betanito. And in the afternoon, you will read from the Parsha of the Tanit. So you read Vayechal in the afternoon. And in the morning, you'll read the regular Parshat HaShavua. So why do you have to say that they're mutually exclusive? You could have both of them. Now, this is really a question. Rashi says this question is on Rabbi Yirmiyah.
Because Rabbi Yirmiyah says, whenever we can preserve the Parshat HaShavuah, we won't override it. That's why he says, Darba Parshat, or just the Maftir, not the whole Parsha. So over here too, since we could have a way to preserve the Parshat HaShavuah by reading it in the morning and the Parshat HaTanit in the afternoon, why don't we do that? So Gemara says, Misayale the Rav Huna. This is supportive of the position of Rav Huna, which we saw in Masechet Tanit. Am Rav Huna. What is the layout? What is the schedule of the day on a fast day? He says, Mitzafra Kenufaya. In the morning, they all get together. So since they're all getting together in the morning, there's no time to Kriyat HaTorah. The regular Kriyat HaTorah, there's no time for that. So Hechi Avdina, what is that Luach Hayom? What is that schedule for the day? Am Rabbi Mitzafra the Pagei Diyom. From the morning until halfway through the day, Mainina B'Mele Demato. They look into the matters of the city. Now, looking into matters of the city is Nach Pesad Derachkenu Nach Kora V'Neshuv Elecha. They look in to see if there's something wrong, or people not acting appropriately, or people not doing what's right. It's an introspective time. They spend the morning being introspective and trying to figure out what needs rectification and where they can do tshuva. Mipala the Yom Alapanyo. Then from halfway through the day till sunset, what's the breakdown? Revia the Yoma for a quarter of the day. They read Karinan Bisifra Umaftire. We read from Sifra, which is the Sefer Torah, and we have Haftorah. And then Revia Dioma Bo Rachme. And for the last quarter of the day, they daven. So when they talk about a quarter here, it means a quarter of the total day. But the two quarters equal up to a half. That's the latter half of the day. The first half of the day is introspective tshuva. The second half of the day is broken into two halves. The first part of it is Kriyat HaTorah and Haftorah. And the latter half of the day, meaning the last quarter of the day, is davening. Shinamar. And they quote, as Rashi says here, they quote two psukim from Ezra. Even though they're really one pasuk is in Nehemiah, one is in Ezra. The reason Rashi most likely says that is because in Rashi's time, Ezra and Nehemiah were not two separate sfarim. They were considered to be one sefer. The Gra, on the other hand, suggests no, because it's a story about Ezra in Nehemiah. That's why they call it Ezra. But in those psukim, it says, Vayikaru b'sefer Torat Hashem Elokehem revi'it ayom, for a quarter of the day, revi'it mitvadim u'mishtachavim. And for a quarter of the day, they bow down and they are mitvadeh. They confess before God. So that's describing the reading of the Torah. And it's also describing the vidui and the bowing down. Where it says v'ipuch, why don't we flip it around? Ipochana, why don't we flip this around? How do you know what the order is? Or why don't we say that we do the reading of the Torah in the morning, and we do the davening in the morning, and then for the latter half of the day, we'll do the introspection. How do you know which way to divide up the day? So when it says, lo saka datcha, you can't say that tichtiv, because this is the other pasuk that we quote here, which is, ve'alai yasfu kol chared b'divrei elukei Yisrael, al mal ha'gola, v'ani yoshev mishomeim ad minchat ha'erev. It says that anybody who was careful and meditating in the mitzvot and wanted to get close to Hashem on the problems that were caused by the gula, which is the intermarriage and all the other problems that are going on. And it says there that they all gathered to come to Ezra. And he says, "Vani yoshev mishomeim ad minchat erev." I was silent until the late afternoon. Uchtiv, ubiminchat erev, kamti mitaniti. And in the late afternoon, I got up from my tanit. At which point, it says, I open up my hands to Hashem and he begins to daven. So you see there in Sefer Ezra, until the late afternoon, he didn't daven. So now we know which half of the day the davening is going to be. It's going to be the latter half of the day. So once you do that, we know what the division of the day is. The morning will be used for introspection. The afternoon will be divided in half, with the first half being for Kriyat HaTorah and Haftorah. And the latter half of the second half of the day will be for Tefillah, similar to what Ezra did, which was in the late afternoon, he read the Torah. All right, we're just going to read the Mishnah, and then we'll continue with the Gemara afterwards. Just recall that with regards to a Mishnah, the Mishnah is a work of Eretz Yisrael. So as far as the Gola is concerned, it doesn't concern itself with what you do on a second day of Yom Tov. The second day of Yom Tov will be dealt with by the Gemara, which is obviously the Gemara Bavel, Bavli, and they have to deal with what exactly you read on the second day of Yom Tov. The other thing to note is, Tosfot, we'll get to this in a second, says that our practice doesn't follow much of what's here, and we'll discuss that after we finish the Mishnah. B'Pesach, on Pesach, Korim B'Parshat HaMoladot, Shel Torat Kohanim. On Pesach, we read the Parshat HaMoladot, the Parsha that describes the Moladot in Torat Kohanim, in Parsefer Vayikra, that is, Parshat Emor, Shor HaChesed. Batzeret, On Shavuot, we read Shiva Shavuot, which is from Sefer Dvarim, Parshat Rei. That's Parshat HaMoadim in Rei. Rosh Hashanah, we read B'chodesh HaShvi'i B'chad B'chodesh. We read from Parshat Emor again. B'Yom HaKippurim, we read from Achrei Mot, which describes the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. B'Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, Parim B'Parshat Moadot Shibetorat Kohenim. Once again, on the first day of Yom Tov for Sukkot, we read from Parshat Emor, the Moadim in Parshat Emor, similar to the first day of Pesach. V'Shar Kol Yomot HaChag, on the remainder days of Sukkot, we read B'Korbanot HaChag, we read the Korbanot of the holidays. B'Chanukah, you read B'Nisi'im. Each day you read one of the Nisi'im from Parshat Naso. B'Purim, we read from Vayavo Amalek, which is the end of Parshat B'Shalach. B'Roshei Chodeshim, we read from Parshat Pinchas, which is B'Roshei Chodeshichem. B'Mamadot, the Mamadot, which we discussed extensively in Masechet Tanit, you read from Maseh Breshit. B'Taniyot, on fast days, you read from the Brachot V'Klalot, from Im B'Chukotai Teleichu, because we want to understand the correlation between bad things happening and bad behavior. Aim of sikim klalot. When you read the negative, the klalot, we don't stop in the middle to give two aliyot. El echad koreet kulan. Whoever gets that aliyah gets the full klalot. We don't divide it up. B'sheni b'chamishi b'shabbat m'mincha. On Monday, Thursdays, and Shabbat mincha time, korin kesidran, you read the Parshata Shavua. Ve'en olim lehem min acheshbon. But when you read that, that doesn't help you out for the number, meaning that it doesn't help you out for the seven aliyot that you need on Shabbat. You have to read a full seven aliyot. You don't say, oh, I read three on Monday, three on Thursday, so I got six already, I only need to read one on Shabbat. No, you have to read a full seven on Shabbat itself, and these have nothing to do with that. These don't take away from the seven required on Shabbat. Shenemar, and we learn, Vayidaber Moshe et Modei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael, Mitzvatan Shu Korim Kol Echad V'Echad Bizmano. So Vayidaber Moshe et Modei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael. So he told the Modei Hashem to Bnei Yisrael, and that teaches us that on the Moed itself, you have to read about it. He has to tell about it. How do you tell about the Moed on the Moed itself? You read from the Parshiot that is Shayach to the Moed. Now, it's a very interesting idea here. In terms of what the Mishnah does, it's not our practice, but what the Mishnah says is, for Pesach, you read from Parshat Emor. From Shavuot, you read from Parshat Re'eh. And then for Sukkot, you read from Parshat Emor. So why is that? Why don't you just read from Parshat Emor from all of them? So the Ran says that they wanted to alternate. They wanted to alternate between the two Parshat HaMoadot. Parshat HaMoadot in Emor, Parshat HaMoadot in Re'eh. So they want to alternate holidays. So on Pesach they read Emor, Shavuot they read from Re'eh, and then Sukkot they go back to Emor. And every year they do this cycle. The only problem is with the Ran is that in between you have Rosh Hashanah. And where do we read Rosh Hashanah from? We read it from Parshat Emor. Now it turns out you read Emor on Pesach, Re'eh on Shavuot, Emor on Rosh Hashanah. That means you should read from Re'eh for Sukkot. How come the Ran is saying we're alternating? Why did he leave out Rosh Hashanah? So if you look carefully in the Mishnah, it's very interesting how the Mishnah describes the reading on Rosh Hashanah. It describes the reading on Rosh Hashanah as B'chodesh HaShivi'i. Now on Pesach and Sukkot, where it says you read from Parshat Emor, it says you read from Parshat HaMoadot, not from the specific Moed. What you see from here is that as far as Pesach is concerned and Sukkot are concerned, you read the entire Parshat HaMoadot on those days. Probably because the Shlosh Regalim are connected together, and therefore you want to read all the Shlosh Regalim. If you read all the Shlosh Regalim, you're going to incorporate the entire Parshat HaMoadot because Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is stuck in the middle. So therefore you're going to read all the Parshayot that are Shayach the Moadim. So it actually turns out like the Ran, because Rosh Hashanah is not similar. Rosh Hashanah is not reading for Parshat Emor. It means read about Rosh Hashanah in Parshat Emor, not for the whole Parshat HaMoadot. And so therefore, on Pesach, you will read Emor, the whole Parshat HaMoadot. You will read from Re'eh on Shavuot, even though here the Mishnah terms Re'eh reading from Shiva Shavuot, which makes it sound like you don't read the whole thing, you just read about Shavuot. But there's nothing to contrast that with in the Mishnah. As opposed to Rosh Hashanah, where it's contrasted with the other times the Mishnah mentions Parshat HaMoadot and doesn't mention it there, there it's clearly telling you that it's not the case. On Rosh Hashanah, you read from Emor, but just about Rosh Hashanah. Then on Sukkot, you come back and read again from Emor, but there you read from the entire Parshat HaMoadot from Parshat Emor. Now obviously, our practice is not like this. On the first day of Pesach, we read from Parshat Bo. On the first day of Shavuot, we read from Parshat Yitro. And on the first day of Sukkot, Then we do read from Parshat Emor. So Tosfot over here, I'm just telling you a little bit. We're going to get to this in the Gemara about our practice, some of our practices. But Tosfot makes a point over here. It's an important point. The only Tosfot on Lamed, and he says this. V'hashanu mamidim sefer Torah shniya b'moadot. The fact that we bring out a second sefer Torah on holidays, v'korim b'korbanot ayom from Parshat Pinchas, that we read from Pinchas about the korbanot, lo samin matzino smach b'tamud. There is not a single source within the Talmud Bavli for what we do. This practice has no source in the Gemara. It says, Ach, v'seder Rav Amram yeshno. In the Rav Amram, meaning already in the time of the Gonim, there is a mention of this. And then he says, V'ketzat yesh smach l'davar mahadar malakaman. But there is a little bit of a hint to this later on Daf Lamed Aleph and Bet, tomorrow's Daf. Mar Avram l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch will be in Melon Sholam. But me today, Yerushalayim, how do I know that I'm going to inherit the land? The Gemara says that Hashem answered Avraham that the korbanot are the zechut by which Bnei Yisrael keep the land. Avram says back, Tinach, when the Beit HaMikdash is around. What happens when the Beit HaMikdash is not around? So he says, Kvar tikanta lehem seder korbanot kol zman shekorin behen. I already established that whenever they read the korbanot, it'll be if they brought it. So there is a reason to read the korbanot on that day. So Tosfot says it's really not a smach for this. And Tosfot in other places in Shas notes about our Gemara over here. We'll see it in tomorrow's daf more blatantly. That it turns out that some of the, what we call the Masechtot HaKtanot, which are found or printed in the Vilna Shas after Avodah Zarah. Over there we have the Masechet Sofrim, which actually lays out different parshiot and different readings than we have in the Bavli. And it turns out that we mostly follow Masechet Sofrim. So Masechet Sofrim, which seems to be a much later Masechta, Josh, you asked earlier about when did the division of Parshiot come about, it seems like Masechet Sofrim definitely had a heavy influence about what we read and how the divisions were. And we paskin like things from Masechet Sofrim over the Bavli. And Tosafot brings as a proof from our Gemara's coming here that sometimes we don't paskin like the Bavli, paskin like Masechet Sofrim over the Bavli. And some of those examples are here in the reading of the Parshiot of what we picked to read during the holidays is actually given from Masechet Sofrim and not from the Bavli. And he brings that as proofs in other places in Shas to say that sometimes we don't paskin like the Bavli. You paskin like some of those Masechtot Kitanot over the Bavli. And his Raya is from here. And here Tosafot points out that our practice to read the Maftir from Parshat Pinchas has no source in the Gemara. It's found in the Gonim, but maybe there's hints at it in the Gemara, but it's not out of the Gemara itself. So you see that the readings for the Moadot and all these readings were an evolutionary process by which you see the Mishnah already has certain things. The Bavli, we're going to see tomorrow, changes some of those, adapts for Chutz La'aretz, but also changes some of the readings. And then it still developed beyond that. There were Minhagim based on the Gonim and so on and so forth that kept this development going till we have what the practice is today that we read and the Parsha that we read and the Haftarot and Maftir that we read. Okay, we'll stop over here.